Lord, we just come to you this morning just thankful for this day, for just all that you are. We just look to you and we are in awe and wonder of you. And we just bless your name this morning. Just grateful for the breath in our lungs, the beautiful weather that we have, which is a reflection of you. An opportunity to get together, to fellowship, to look more intently into your word, to learn from that, to look to grow from that. Not just to have some knowledge, but to grow in our relationship with you so that we might just be marked by your character, Lord, as we live our lives. So we just ask this time to be honoring and it would bring you glory. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, this morning we're going to continue our study of the practice of godliness. Godliness is not just some activity where we keep some rules or commandments of God, or where we're involved in ministry work. God's people could do these things and still not be godly. Godliness is a life that is wholly devoted to God, where we commit the same way an athlete would. We train to better understand His holiness, and we do this, as we do this, we understand His holiness, and it leads to a greater knowledge and fear of God. And at the same time, we strive to know the love of God more. And there's no way to reach the depths of either one of those. And as we grow in this, our desire for God, or if you will, our fellowship with Him is increased, which affects our conduct. So we begin to become people who take on His character. We are marked by things like humility, patience, and love. We show mercy to others. We're kind to them. We give grace to others, even when they're not very graceful to us, right? We enjoy life with God, and our actions please Him. Amen? That's what we're looking to learn and to do in this class, and that's where we've been headed so far. So Matthew 5, verse 6 says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Look, this life is a life of contentment. This pursuit or the practice of godliness should not be drudgery. Instead, it ought to be something that we desire more and more as we study Him. So we just remember last week that we just kind of reviewed this about these aspects or these essentials of what it takes to live a godly life and training ourselves to it. So we realize what is needed is that there's these minimum characteristics or irreducible characteristics is the word that he used, where we are committed, right? We're committed like an athlete would be. And even though this task is huge, God doesn't leave us to do it by ourselves. He gives us His Spirit, or He gives us a helper, a coach to help us along our way, to help point out things that we need. But you can't ever miss the importance of this. It requires practice, practice, and more practice. Right, Paige? Can you kind of relate to that? I know that you were, or I shouldn't say past tense, right? You are an athlete.
Right. Just the practice isn't just like a rote thing. Okay, today we're going to do this. It's kind of like I was sharing with you. Sometimes it's based on the previous game where we messed up to then go in there and drill over and over to be aware of where we fell before.
Yes.
If you want to make it a spiritual thing. And then just that whole after game meeting with the coach where, man, he just was like, look, this, you should have been ready for this. You know, we went over this. Know your opponent.
Yeah.
And yet right. we felt like we were ready for those things that our opponent was going to throw at us, those sneaky things and those dirty things. Sometimes we did well and sometimes we didn't.
Yeah, and that practice keeps you sharp, too. Practice. You know, I think about Carlos Correa. He was, I think he was the defensive player of the year in the MLB last year. But, I mean, this guy, as good as he was, I mean, it was about practice. So he was staying sharp, not just looking to increase that. He was trying to maintain that, right? So let me ask this morning, as we're still really in chapter 3, but how critical do you see the role the Word of God plays in our spiritual growth? A little discussion on that, please.
I don't think you can have growth without it.
Yeah. It's impossible, isn't it, to have growth
food
without
to our physical body. It's the food to the spiritual.
Yes.
Kind of sets up the tone of the day, too. Mm-hmm. Getting in the Word and trying to have that right perspective of when things start flying at you.
Because they're going to, aren't they? They're going to come at you. And how well are you going to be prepared for that? All right? More comments, please. How critical.
Well, we're spiritual beings, so, and we can't serve two masters, so we're serving, you know, if you're not with Jesus, you're against Christ. So you're on a team.
Right.
Regardless.
Well, or you could say that you're feeding one of the other, right? You've got that old nature that's still in you, and you have this new nature that seeks to know God better. But if you, is there such a thing as neutral in the Christian life? You know, you just put it neutral? No, it doesn't work that way, does it? That's what we wished it would work sometimes. I'm just being honest and real. So, look, I've got a video, as we know and understand the importance of I'm probably going to have to exit out of there, and I'm going to try to see if this will play. Let me just set this up. This is actually the introduction to BSF this year, but this is the chancellor at Dallas Theological Seminary that does this little introduction, and it's really good, but he talks about the authority of the Bible. He's going to describe that there's some competing authorities, and which one are we going to use? So that didn't play up there, did it?
Maybe share screen.
Can you help me with that, please? It would be greatly appreciated. Here, you need a skate if you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. Technology is great until the day.
Is it right?
Anybody 20 years and younger?
Yeah. Duplicate. All right, here we go.
I see it.
Oh, man, thank you, Jeff. Wow.
Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Vying for the influential supremacy in the shaping of the spiritual part of our lives are four competing authorities. For some, it's our own intellect and rationality. If it does not make sense to our minds, we will not believe. For others, decisions are made on the basis of their emotions. How one feels directs their choices. If it feels good, they do it. For those raised in a religious setting, it may even be the ecclesiastical tradition that controls behavior. One may simply have been raised to believe and live in a certain way. The problem is that all three of these can be plagued by human error and bias. The mind, the heart, or human tradition not led by the Spirit of God through the Word of God are always prone to deceit and defection. One of the great themes brought forward by the Reformation is that of sola scriptura.
Oh. Make note. He's pausing to write that down.
Oh, my goodness.
He means it. Pause for effect.
Lord. We need this video to run. This is so rich.
That's why.
If there's an instruction manual to this, there's a lot of women in here that probably read it.
It's called Signal, yeah.
I'm going to try this staff on one more time.
And you use my hotspot?
May have to. Oh.
Whatever that means, yes.
If it doesn't work, the Wi-Fi here is terrible.
Oh my goodness. Try this one more time. So I figured
technology.
Out. Aha.
You're doing great, Greg.
Come on, baby.
You got this, man. You got this.
Just click it. Click it.
Negative Ghostwriter.
They changed that password. So what's happened?
Oh, I hate it.
Do you need it? I've got it.
It says it's connected.
Do you?
It says it's.
Yeah, we're trying to go for the step.
Which means that the Bible and the Bible alone is our authority. The following statement is found on the BSF website introducing the doctrinal framework for Bible Study Fellowship. And I quote, "The leadership of Bible Study Fellowship, including the board of directors, is committed without reservation to this statement of faith. In fact, the very first article of that statement expresses our commitment to the authority of the Bible. The first article is the Bible. It states, and I quote, we believe that the 66 books of Holy Scripture, as originally given, are in their entirety the Word of God, verbally inspired and wholly without error in all that they declare, and therefore are the supreme and final authority for faith and life. Psalm 119, 160 reads, all your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, states, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which indeed is at work in you who believe. As we begin this new year of study, and this new study of the people of the promised kingdom divided, I want to talk to you about two major themes: the authority of the Bible in general, and the relevancy of the Old Testament in particular. Since the Bible is the word.
Why'd you say that? You should have said that. That is super frustrating.
I texted that password to you.
They changed it, is what's happened. Thank you so much. This could get us in right here. Let's see.
You're breaking in the CIA? Or
no.
This could get us in. We're hacking Fort Knox.
Even that second letter is a zero?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Declaration of Independence.
That's the problem. How can zero be a letter?
Exclamation.
Your eyebrows are hyperactive.
You need glasses. You need glasses on, man.
This is so frustrating.
It might open a window to like verify the.
It's gonna open that window too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna try one more time.
You might refresh it.
Sounds like we're
going to
be
rocking. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's starting the whole thing over. I'm fixing to have to abandon it. This is just not working at all.
What is it saying? The signal is the only
thing? It's not great, but.
You might. Can you refresh it?
I'm trying.
Okay. Everything's gone. No, I'm kidding.
Right, whose idea was it to refresh?
Give it a second. You're like a million things.
Believe and live in a certain way. The problem is that all three of these can be plagued by human error and bias. The mind, the heart, or human tradition not led by the Spirit of God through the Word of God are always prone to deceit and defection. One of the great themes brought forward by the Reformation is that of sola scriptura, which means that the Bible and the Bible alone is our authority. The following statement is found on the BSF website introducing the doctrinal framework for Bible Study Fellowship. And I quote, "The leadership of Bible Study Fellowship, including the board of directors, is committed without reservation to this statement of faith. In fact, the very first article of that statement expresses our commitment to the authority of the Bible. The first article is the Bible. And it states, and I quote, we believe that the 66 books of Holy Scripture, as originally given, are in their entirety the Word of God, verbally inspired, and wholly without error in all that they declare, and therefore are the supreme and final authority for faith and life. Psalm 119, 160 reads, "All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, states, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which indeed is at work in you who believe." As we begin this new year of study, and this new study of the people of the promised kingdom divided, I want to talk to you about two major themes: the authority of the Bible in general, and the relevancy of the Old Testament in particular. Since the Bible is the Word of God, let me begin by making three statements. The authority of the Bible is rooted in the authorship of the Bible. The inerrancy of the Bible is rooted in the inspiration of the Bible. And the profitability of the Bible is rooted in the power of the Bible. There are three great passages in the Bible about the Bible that help us answer three questions as to why we see the Bible as our sole authority. Question number one, how did we get our Bible? The origin of the Bible is described in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not sourced in the intuition of human authors. The Bible is not sourced in the interpretation of human listeners. Peter tells us that the Bible is supernaturally sourced in the Holy Spirit and communicated through human authors. Literally, in the Greek New Testament, verse 21 reflects this emphatic truth by the very order of its words. If I could translate it, "but by the Holy Spirit, being moved or borne along, spoke from God, men." This is the process of inspiration. God spoke by his Spirit through human authors, and the result is the Word of God. The second question we can ask and answer is, what is the nature of the Bible? The nature and purpose of the Bible are clearly seen in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, where Paul reminded Timothy, "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture, passe graphe in Greek, every part or every passage of Scripture. Graphe, it means writing. It's used 51 times in the New Testament. 49 times it refers to the Old Testament Scriptures, and 2 times to New Testament Scriptures. The phrase "God breathed," or as some have translated it, "inspired of God," is a translation of one unique Greek word, theopneustos. It's the only time it's found in all of the Scriptures. It comes from three words. Theos is a word for God. Pneuma is the word for breath, or for, here I think, the Holy Spirit. And tos is a suffix meaning the result of. Hence, all Scripture, every Scripture, is the result of the Spirit of God, which correlates perfectly to what we saw in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Listen again to what Paul said about these sacred writings. They're able to make one wise unto salvation. They're given by the inspiration of God through the Spirit of God. They're profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. They help the servant of God become thoroughly prepared for every good work. A third question, critical for our purpose, is how can we know what God meant by what God said? The first key to understanding the Scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. This passage connects the links of God's communication chain: revelation, inspiration, and illumination, all three of which are necessary for our correct understanding and the application of the Bible. And all three involve the role of the Spirit. Revelation is that process by which God made known to humanity that which otherwise could never be known. The passage begins, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Inspiration, the second link, is that process by which God so directed the human authors of Scripture, without destroying their individuality, their personal interests, or their literary style, his complete thought toward humanity was recorded without error in the words of the original manuscripts. What Paul is speaking to the Corinthians are the thoughts of God brought by the Spirit into human language. Verse 13 states it this way: "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words." The third link in our divine communication chain is illumination. Illumination is that process whereby the Spirit makes possible for us to know and willing to accept the right understanding of the Word of God. This is described in verse 12 and in verses 14 through 16. Paul says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" Paul says, "But we have the mind of Christ." The authority of the Bible is rooted in the authorship of the Bible. The inerrancy of the Bible is rooted in the inspiration of the Bible. And the profitability of the Bible is rooted in the prophetic nature of the Bible. In addition to the argument of the Bible itself for its own authority by right of divine origin, all we need to do is read the New Testament to see how Jesus and the apostles endorsed the authority of those portions of the Bible available to them. Jesus cited four.
Look, I'm going to stop it right there because I was going to continue a little farther. Jeff, do you mind getting that? Well, I need to change that back so I can get.
Shouldn't.
No? Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Thanks. So I just wanted to just open that up for comments after that video because, I mean, we're talking about the importance of the Word of God, and you see that the thoughts of God are putting into human words for us so that we could understand him better. Wow. Man, that is amazing. And so these were, you know, some of the thoughts that he had there. But please, I want to hear from y'all what you thought about that or what you gained from that.
You know, we were talking earlier about how important is the Word of God. We are physical bodies and spiritual. Well, try to eat no food is your physical body.
Yes.
See where you end up. Well, try to not read the Word of God and study with your spiritual body and see where you end up. That's basically, you know.
Exactly. Malnourished. You'll be weak, right? Same thing happens to us on a spiritual level. Exactly. Yes, Rick.
The one thing that about the Word of God, the Bible,
yes,
it is truth, and we're constantly looking for truth, and it's the only place we're going to find it. And one of the things that bothers me is that the secular world is always trying to disprove the Bible, and delved into this book 6 days and realizing how important it is that we learn and understand that God created the world in 6 days. And when you get into what science is trying to teach our children about evolution, what a lot of us have bought into, the world being millions of years old, if we prove Genesis to be wrong, then what good is the rest of the Bible? And so we have to understand that the Bible is truth.
We do. It's a source outside of ourselves. That's those competing authorities he's talking about right there. So it is an objective source of truth, not subjective. And that's where people get into problems. They think that their own intellect or mind has got everything figured out, or their emotions, or even religious upbringing or traditions traditions of just men, but no, it's not that. It's the Bible. We cannot skip the importance of that. So Jerry in the book talked about five different ways. This is a navigator. Were you familiar with that, Debbie? I know. Yes. Five different ways that you would have intake of the Word of God, right? So the first was hearing. So let me just ask what came to your mind about hearing, or I'll just say, or being taught the Word of God. Because last week we talked about that it is our responsibility, no one else's, for us to have this opportunity for spiritual growth. But it's still our responsibility to go and be taught, right? So it still is in the realm of our responsibility, but that God has given some others to help us along the way. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, he says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And here is the purpose of that: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. How long do we have that? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure, what are we going to be measured against? The stature of the fullness of Christ. Woe, that we should no longer, because this, that other stuff, if it's your authority, here's what's going to happen to you. You'll be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But instead, now we have a contrast, speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So, I mean, that verse lets us know the importance of teachers. And man, do we have one that we get to hear every week to be taught? And the method that he uses of going through a book, not skipping, where you can get around those difficult, hard subjects. Hearing the Word of God, the importance of that. Please, comments, if anybody has one. Yes, sir.
You know, to me, one of the great things about hearing the Word of God, if you are a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you get confirmation whether you're getting the good doctrine or not. You know, and boy, I guess I've been coming here a couple of years now, and with CF's preaching, it's always been confirmed that it's the truth.
Exactly. That is the model of the Bereans, right, who looked through the scriptures to see if what was being taught was correct. That is still our responsibility.
There's a lot of teachers. Pastors, too, I'm sorry to say.
Yes.
Do not teach everything I don't think that is right.
And with that downward trend of what you're talking about there, do you think that has an impact on society? Of course it does. Yeah.
Well,
of course
it does. We have to stay in the Word to make sure that what we're being taught is true. Because,
yes.
I mean, CF is still a human being.
He sure is.
If he messes up somewhere, we can't just lay it all on him. We have to be responsible to recognize if he messes up. We can't blame him if... You know, we're going to have false teachers. He's not a false teacher. No. I'm not saying that at
right.
all. I'm saying, but he is a human being. You know, so we have to state, that's why it's important that we read the Word.
Yep, it is. And look, you also get the perspective of others, what God would bring to them. Jeff, you had something?
I'll say a huge compliment to our congregation is a CF will often get questioned after a service about a sermon. And he said to me a billion times, we're like the smartest congregation. I mean, there's so many smart folks in our congregation that you can't get by on a lot of these guys.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of smart people here.
No, they're people that have spent, you know, a good measure of their life in the Word.
Yeah.
Well, what did you see and understand was the importance of reading the Word of God? How does that differ from, you know, just kind of look at each one of these aspects and see the importance of those?
But if you just hear the Word of God, you have to assume that he interpreted who gives you the Word of God, that he read it right and interprets it right, and that his mind is right. If it's not, I mean, just turn on the TV or whatever, and you hear some people, and yeah, it's the Word of God from what you know, but it's really, you can read a letter and leave some of the things out, and what you leave out changes the whole meaning of it.
Yes.
So you got to teach the whole Word of God, and you have to hear the whole Word of God.
Yes.
And if you done, but if you read it, you know yourself.
And I think it's one thing to be under the Word of God, but it's another thing to be in it for ourselves.
Yes.
And I know there are some religions that caution people from reading it.
Right, exactly.
And then they can take their own agendas and, you know, spout that and not have to worry about anybody.
Well, you know, sometimes it's easier to kind of say, look, man, I really enjoy reading the New Testament. You have the Old Testament, right? It can be a little tougher. But what it does, man, it gives us a broader view by reading, because we're able to cover, you know, maybe the Bible in a year or less, right, reading through it. So that gives us a more, just a broader view of the Scriptures, which is important. What we are able to see is God's plan of redemption from front to back. We get to see the entirety of it. Now that's important, because you know, he talked about those Scriptures, and you go, hey man, are those all Scripture is, you know, profitable, right? Well, you mean even those verses in Leviticus? Because you get to doing your Bible reading and you get there and you're like, whoa, man, I'm gonna have to work through this, right? But yes, there's value in that. You get to see that sin is very costly, right? That there is a price to pay for sin in books. Yes, sir.
You see, human nature's always the same, always been the same.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, you get to see the original fall of man in that was plunged into sin, right? We can be encouraged as we read through all the Scriptures by the faith of other believers as well. This is something C.F. said right from the time he got to this church. But there is an importance in reading God's Word, because it has a cleansing. It washes over your thoughts. And so it has a cleansing effect on our mind, because there's a lot of garbage that goes in our mind. If just from the way that our society is, if you turn on your TV, garbage is coming at you, right? So look, reading is a vital part of spiritual growth. It is necessary. How about this one? This one is tough, man, because it requires diligence and mental intensity. Those were two words he used in there. I liked those, because that is an accurate description where you get into studying. So let me ask a question, Ben, before we start digging into that. What are some things that might restrict you or stop you or distract you from this right here, from the study of God's Word?
Busyness.
Yes. We're a busy people, aren't we? Man. Mm-hmm.
Natural aversion to accountability.
Okay. You don't want to be accountable. You're afraid if you get in there and dig in that, you're like, oh, man, I might have to start working on that. Whoa. Yep.
There's always a distraction. The dog has to go out. The phone rings. Someone comes to the door. It's like as soon as you sit down.
It's the truth.
It all comes.
Yeah. That's where that diligence has to come in, because it's you have to say, like, hey, I'm going to get somewhere and I'm not going to be interrupted. I'm going to turn my phone off. That phone goes off nonstop, doesn't it? Text calls. So you have to be intentional about that. And not only that, what about study methods? Because what you can hear a lot of times is, what does that verse mean to you? No. It doesn't mean something different to me than it means to you. It has how many meanings? Mm-hmm. One, right? So, study method of hermeneutics.
And also along those lines is that we tend to get into scripture and go, well, you know, what does this mean? Like you said, for me, it's a me thing when we're supposed to be asking,
right.
What do I know from this passage about God?
Yes.
You know, what do I know about his character? What do I know about it? And then all that other stuff kind of flows from what you've learned about who God is in that passage. Or at least that's what we're being taught in this latest study, is stop getting the whole me out of it.
What we're supposed to do is apply it to our life.
Yeah.
We're not, you know,
yes.
It's about God and, you know, him first. And
yes, exactly. Look, here is the key. Is observation, observation, observation. You know, you want to dig into that. What did it mean when it was written? The letter to the Corinthians 1 and 2 was not written to you and I. Okay? Just that might surprise you this morning. It was written to them. And so you got to dig in there. You got to find out, what did that letter mean to them? What was the culture? How much did audience relevance play into a correct observation about scripture? Who is it written to? You got to dig in. These are just something. What about how the grammar structure is in the word? You got to know, what is that applying to? The verb tenses are important. As you see, CF gives those to us all the time. Who's the object? So, an incorrect interpretation is not the fault of God. It is the fault of us in our Bible study that we did not make correct observation, right? Does that make sense? And so, how much work does that take? Well, CF's doing a class on Bible study right now. We were talking about it in our elder meeting, and we're talking about, you know, like some homework on a verse might be, hey, go make 100 observations about this passage, just this verse. And so they come back with 100, and they go, all right, now go find another 100. That can be, I mean, you can imagine the amount of work that takes, right? But the correct observation leads to the correct meaning, the meaning that God has in that scripture. And then now we make application off of that meaning. So how many applications could there be? Many. Right? Many. One meaning, many applications. So studying, wow, it is work, right? It is a lot of work, but getting into the treasures of it. Jerry talked about some principles that are here in Proverbs. So I just thought these were interesting. I've got them up here on the board. Am I teachable? Do I have an intent to obey? Am I applying God's wisdom to my understanding? Am I praying for God to grant me understanding? And will I persevere? That's that diligence that's required to find the treasures in God's word. Comments about any one of those, please. Which one do you relate to that might be a little tough? Do you ever find a place where you say, you know, I'm realizing that my neck is kind of stiff. I'm not so teachable. Man.
I was listening to the AFR this morning, the Hour of Holiness, and he made a comment in there. He said, some people want to control. It's just so foolish. It's such foolishness. And I never attached control with foolishness and all that, but control applies to almost all of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A person who's a control freak, I mean,
I'm good at being me. I'm good at running my deal.
Yeah.
What do I need to be taught about? Yeah. I had one guy tell me, he's lost. He said, I like my life the way it is. I mean, that's just where he's at, you know. I pray for him because, look, until he can see something different than that, he's not going anywhere, you know. Yes, Rick.
Going back one step from where we are right now, the methods.
Yes.
And I found that doing a group Bible study is so much more effective because other people catch things I miss.
Yes.
Or have a perspective or an experience.
Amen.
That brings it to light and makes it a lot more applicable.
Yes.
I guess, to life and see how it fits in.
I couldn't agree more with that, Rick. That's very valuable to have your private study. And then you go, hey, let's talk about this. And you do get the different perspectives from others. That's right on. There's no way we're going to get through this material today. That technical difficulty did not help. But in Proverbs 2, you get the result of these principles when they're applied to our lives, right? Then when you have a teachable spirit, when your mindset is not just to get knowledge, but is to obey God, when you're applying God's wisdom to your understanding, when you're crying out for God to teach you and to help you and to give you wisdom, when you persevere through the struggle of Bible study, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that's where our devotion to God grows and our desire for Him becomes stronger and stronger. And the stronger that becomes, the more you want to do these things, the more you want to dig into His Word, the more. I mean, that's challenging. What about memorization? Some of the verses that were listed in your questions, or just how that you saw, these are some ones that I put up here that were out of the book, but what is the purpose that God has for us in using His Word in terms of intaking it by memorization? How is that important, and how does it vary from some of these other methods that we have seen?
Well, the very basic, thy word have I hid in my heart.
And yes, yes.
You know, it's pretty foundational.
You do, exactly. You store it up. I like that idea of, you know, hidden. It's stored up. It's put away for a time later to come where I'm going to need it. If I don't have that as a resource. And look, here's another thing. I mean, I hate to be a gloomy Glenn this morning, but there may come a time, and it might not be that far away, where your Bible is no longer in your possession. I mean, I don't think that's happening tomorrow, but don't kid yourself. There are ideas in society that they think that is absolute evil, right?
And it can help you in your day-to-day, every day. I mean, something comes to your mind and, you know, and it's like, but I remember God's word says this, you know, His promises, His, you know.
Look, the Awana program, we saw the benefit of that to our children because those verses, even though you're not rolling on them every day, perhaps, they come back to your mind, don't they? Because Cindy and I were leaders in Awana, and we would memorize those verses with the kids, page two. And so they were valuable. I mean, I still have those stored up in my memory. But look, it also helps us in ministry to others because you encounter people. And look, you might not just have access to your Bible. You do have it on a phone now, but it is people get an idea of what God means to you when out comes those verses that you've memorized. They know that that is in your heart, right? And you pour it out to others. I find that very, very helpful. So memorization, which here's one of the aspects. I didn't put that on there, but it helps with our meditation, right? Because off you go in your truck. Jeff, you drive a good bit, right? I've done that in my career too. A lot of times I do spend that time in a productive way in meditation. So what does it mean to meditate?
To think on it, and to constantly just roll it over in your mind and to really think on what it is. And so if you don't have that word in your mind, you can't just really think on it and meditate on it.
Right. And if we don't have it memorized down, there might be some verses of something that we're struggling and dealing with. We might just write it down on a card, and we might have it or on a piece of paper, and it's in our pocket, and we pull it out all day long, and we're thinking about it, and we're asking God, how does this apply to my life?
And it infiltrates your worldview and your dialogue with others, just period. Yeah, it affects your thinking, your solutions, the way you perceive problems, and
yes,
it infiltrates your everything.
Right on. Thank you, Jeff. It means to mutter, to murmur, to talk to oneself. I felt so much better about myself after realizing that talking to yourself is good. God calls for it. I was like, thanks. kidding. But as you said, you know, just it's flipping it over in your mind, asking God, how does this apply to my life? Instead, though, what is natural for us to flip around in our minds?
Daydreaming.
Daydreaming, just
worry, anxiety.
Failures. Yeah, your mess ups, right? Which
everything you've got to do that day.
Everything, your busyness. Right on, brother. Yep. I know. Yeah. So it means that meditation is going to have to be intentional. It doesn't. I mean, it means you're going to have to say, like, hey, when I walk out today, I don't want to just get tangled up in all of my busyness, right? I don't really think we have time for this. I'm trying to move through it. But look, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Let me just read it right quick. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, contrast. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Day and night. It means when you have free time, you ought to be rolling that scripture. Thinking your thoughts ought to be on God, about his goodness. So, you know, just all of the things that you learn about God. You see that there is the putting off. Even in this scripture, you see the first thing that you do is you put off. You don't, in this progressive manner, you don't you don't stand, you don't sit, and you, I'm sorry, you don't walk, you don't stand, you don't sit. It's progressive in nature that it's going to spiral downward. Instead, this is what the scripture says, happy, blessed. It's like, hey, congratulations to the one that meditates on God's law day and night. Why is that? Look at the result in verse 3. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. You've got the source. You're not dry when you're meditating on the Word of God. You don't have an unquenchable thirst. Instead, your leaves are not withering. They're not falling off. Instead, you're going to yield fruit. But it says, in its season. So that means it's not instantaneous. That means we got to continue. We got to persevere in the Word. And in whatever he does, he'll prosper. I mean, look, that is talking about spiritually. That's not just your wallet, okay? So meditation, the discipline of meditation on God's Word is vital.
There's so many benefits to it.
Yes.
I'm sure we all have people in our heads that we think of when we're thinking about people who meditate on God's Word, because it comes out in their countenance, you know, the way they carry themselves, the way they talk. You know, no one wants to be around someone that's complaining all the time.
Nope.
They're probably not meditating on God's Word.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be complaining.
Exactly.
So they would understand the goodness of God in their life, and they would have more of a heart of gratitude than of one of complaint. And it also allows you to handle, you know, crises that come up in your life. Everybody's going to have a crisis in their life at some
point.
Yes,
they are.
And so if you're meditating on God's Word, then you're going to handle it better. And you're going to draw near to him.
Yes. Yes. You're going to have that intimacy with God, right? You're going to have that fellowship that instead of just daydreaming, and that nature is going to take that daydreaming off. But seeking, all we have time is just a little glimpse of seeking a deeper.
We can do this next week.
You can pick that. Excellent. Well, look, Jeff's going to talk about the quiet time. And so, look, how we would go about a devotion that would structure that.
Next week.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Let me make that announcement right quick. Next week, we will have our ministry fair. That'll happen between the two services. So we invite you to that. We'll have booths set up out in the fellowship hall. And you can see a ministry, if you're not already plugged in, one that you might want to get plugged in and minister. So any final comments about the intake of God's Word? Man, isn't God good? to give us so many different ways to handle where we're messed up. I mean, he just gives us his word, but he gives us all these different ways to take it in. And look, these are just five that are mentioned. I'm sure there are a lot, even more than that, that you could think of ways that you are helped by the instruction of the word. But
I think one of the things with all of that is, as you do that, you fall in love with the author of the scriptures. And to know the word and have it is just life to me.
You know,
just so many, like Keith was saying, so many opportunities in life to go back to a Bible study or something that I've memorized, you know, that God brings forth to comfort and give me his peace or lead me or guide me or whatever. But the sweetest thing is knowing Christ in that way, in a deeper way.
I love that he was honest about that when he said, you know, Lord, I want to be like Paul. I want to wake up and just have this hunger, and I want to, you know, throughout my day, and just being honest and saying, Lord, I'm not there. I'm not that hungry for it, that we could pray and say, I mean, it's like a confession, I guess. Father, I'm not as hungry for your word as I should be. Can you get me there?
Yeah.
You know?
To cry out for it, just to spend time in prayer asking God, look, show me where I need to grow in areas of my life to be more deeply, wholeheartedly devoted to you. I mean, look, it ought to be our cry, because, you know, this verse right here, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Man, what a good verse to think about. Don't let me. Lord, that's what I say sometimes, you know, when just maybe my attitude is not right. I just say, Lord, look, don't let me be like that. I don't want to be like that. My desire is to seek you with all my heart, but I can be a knucklehead from time to time, you know. So, well, let's close. I'm sorry, guys, about the technology issues, but I appreciate, as always, your input. Y'all are just so great to be with and to study through this book together. Just really appreciate you. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we just come to you. And Lord, we want to say that we seek you with all our heart, that we love you with all of our heart. But the truth is, we still got a little ways to go, Lord. So might you just put in our minds, through the power of your word, as we seek to know you better, might you just put a desire in us that would say, we want to not stray from your commands. We want to cling to you. We want to hold on to you. And we want to just show our love for you in the way that we conduct ourselves. So just, Lord, we just ask you to continue to use this study to teach us how to do that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So,